I would invite you to have a seat to hear the gospel this morning, since you've already been standing for just a while. This morning's gospel comes from John in the third chapter. It's a few verses that probably a lot of you know pretty well, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Word of God for the people of God this morning. Would you pray with me? "Speak now, O Spirit of God, to your people, either through me or in spite of me, that we might know your will for our lives and find the courage to live it. Amen." When I sit in my grandmother's rocking chair, do any of you have your grandmother's rocking chair? Which always sat next to the kitchen window in her big old kitchen. It's in our bedroom now. And whenever I sit in that, quite often I remember things she used to teach me when I was little, sitting in that chair, in something that we call these days time out. Such as, when I would ask her, "How long do I have to stay here?" She always would say to me, and I stopped asking the question eventually, "Well, the people in Hades asked that same question." Now, she didn't use the word Hades. But I've been to school, so. And you know, for many years, I really wondered about this place, where it was, and why were all these people in time out? And even now, after 7 years of seminary and many more years studying the Bible, my questions go unanswered, unexplained, where exactly is this place called Hades? This Sunday, today, the church pretty much around the world calls Trinity Sunday. We focus this day, or we talk about focusing this day, we ponder on the glory and the meaning of worshiping a God in three persons, which we just sang. You see, the early church had a really big struggle to answer a whole lot of questions about Jesus, to explain just who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what really happened to him. Did he really come back to life? Was he ever really dead? Was he a ghost? Was he God? How do you know it's true? What does it all mean? You know, most of the time, and we know this, most of the time there is no language really suitable or available to explain things exactly, especially things we don't understand. Especially when it comes to trying to explain God. As in Isaiah's attempts to describe God's holiness when he encountered God in the holy temple, we read that and go, really? But over the centuries, we surely have tried. And 2,000 years and libraries full of books later, the questions are still a struggle to answer. It's no easier today than it was then to explain the unexplainable. They ask Jesus to explain all the time. Who? What? When? How can this be? Nicodemus asked. And we still ask those same questions. Jesus almost always referred them back to the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? It's all there. My identity, my purpose, my power, my suffering, my death, even my resurrection, my gift of the Spirit, God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Any of you remember the Sunday afternoon Bible study, that first Easter Sunday on the road back to Emmaus? Jesus opened their eyes and their hearts that they could understand all of the scriptures about him. It's all there. From the very beginning, it's there. God's breath, God's spirit, the wind of God blowing across the waters at creation, God's life breathed into God's creature. Then God's withdrawal of spirit after we rebelled. God's covenant to bless all the peoples of the earth to Abraham when we finally got this thing going again. God's repeated promises all through the scripture. I will come. I will be their shepherd. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, even so far as to say, I will raise them from their graves. So, Nicodemus, you still don't get it. You are the foremost biblical scholar and theology professor in the whole world, and you still don't know these things? Well, Nick, it's like this. It's all about the Spirit. It's all about God's Spirit. It goes all the way back to the beginning. God's Spirit is God's life. God's life is eternal life, not like our physical life. And without God's life, there is only death. But with it, death has no hold on us. Nicodemus, without the Spirit, you can never understand God's kingdom. You can never see God's kingdom, much less enter into it. Ah, Nick, do you feel the breeze? You have to remember where they are. My understanding is that they were on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. Anywhere pretty much in Israel, it doesn't matter how hot it is during the day. But if you can find a hill in the evening, there is almost always a cool breeze. Do you feel that breeze, Nicodemus? You can't see it, can you? But you can feel it. You can't know where it came from. And there's no way to tell where it's going to go next, but you can feel it. You can see what it does. Look at the palm branches waving in the breeze. You know its effect because you can see what it does on everything it comes in contact with. That's the way it is with the Spirit. Perhaps in all of our pondering this morning, we can answer some of our questions, explain even some of the mysteries, using Jesus' illustration about the wind. Consider a couple of questions, not so much about Jesus, but about his church. It's a how question. How is it that this fearful, trembling little band of followers, and you may have heard some of this last week, having no power, no resources, no legal right to exist, surrounded by public ridicule and a threat from the government for their lives. How is it that this church was not only able to survive, but was able to become the most influential and therefore the most powerful force in all the world? Interrupting the whole course of history, remaining to this very day at the very center of worldwide controversy. There's only one explanation, and that's something that we really cannot explain. It's the Holy Spirit at work within us and through us. The very breath of God, the wind of God at work in the world, the effect that we can see and can feel and can know. Note another thing, Nick. It's personal. It's personal, Nicodemus. This is about you and God. And God's Spirit. Without God's Spirit, without God's life living in you, Nicodemus, there is no understanding at all. There is no power. There is no eternal life. There is only death. You, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. You see, yes, you have to have natural birth first. That's your physical life, but you also must have spiritual birth. That's eternal life. Not so much again. I mean, you want to know how you can be born again. That's not the idea, but also, as well as, you cannot live without God's life living in you. My guess is Nicodemus went back into the night with his head spinning, his heart pounding, realizing before the sunrise that all those rules and rituals and rigmarole, all that stuff of the church that turned me off as a teenager, all that he's devoted his life to memorizing and practicing, all that really means nothing to God, who simply wants a one-on-one personal relationship with each one of us. This is personal, my friends. This is not about nations and civilizations and theologians. This is not about anything other than you and God, me and God. Would you say that with me? This is about me and God. Nothing else. And until it becomes personal, it'll be nothing other than debate, theological conversation, the stuff we read on Facebook all the time, religious argumentation, the stuff we hear all the time, just talk. But once we personally accept God's invitation, you say, well, I never got an invitation. Let me check my phone. No, everyone has an invitation. What did it say? So that everyone who believes in me can have eternal life. Everyone has an invitation. And once we personally choose to receive God's offer of grace and life, God's Spirit. And yeah, I know there's a lot of people that say, I've been hearing this all my life. And I've had more than a few people come to me and said, you know, I heard it and I believed it. I believe that God forgave me. I believe that God still forgives me, but I never received it. I never accepted it for myself. But once we choose to receive it and believe in Jesus, not just about Jesus. Believing in Jesus is trust. It's like, here, Mr. Banker, this is my money. I trust you with it. Once we choose to believe in Jesus, the unexplainable begins to make sense. Perfect sense. As we actually experience the breeze, as we actually feel the wind's power, as we actually see God's hand at work in the world all around us, even in our little part of the world, even in ourselves. God is real. Jesus really does have the power to change our lives. This is my story. This is the first thing I said the first time I ever got talked into getting in a pulpit 30-some years ago when I was still a carpenter working my own business. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. Oh, there's a P.S. written here. Two things. Grandma's lesson. Grandma's lesson was, yes, little one, there are always consequences to your mistakes. But I always love you in spite of your mistakes. Oh, number two, if you were still hoping for me to offer an explanation of the Trinity, God in three persons, well, Jesus talked about wind, I'm going to talk about water. You may have heard this before. We experience water, right? We need water. We can't live without water, but we experience it. I mean, we have to have it to live, and miracle upon miracles just falls out of the sky. But we experience water in three ways, three forms. Liquid, got some somewhere back here. What is the rest? Solid, ice, okay, and gas, vapor, steam, fog, okay. We experience that day after day after day. Get the picture? Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I forgot what we do next. Would you join me in prayer? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the world. We praise you, Father, for being real, for your faithful giving of yourself to us over all the ages and in our own lives. Your grace and mercy in spite of the way we have lived. Your love and generosity in spite of our attitudes toward each other. Your holy presence among us even to this morning. Your tender caring for us through our most painful trials. Your gift of life in spite of our determination to die. That greatest gift of all, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, your presence, your power, your inspiration, your eternal life that is beyond this earthly life forever and ever. Hear our prayers, O Spirit of God, this morning, as we offer thanksgiving for the freedom we enjoy so freely, even knowing that it is not free. Honoring those who put their lives on the line daily to guard our freedom, and especially those who paid the ultimate price for us and for this nation. Hear our prayers for our neighbors, near, far, around the world, for those who suffer. For those who suffer pain and disease and fear and uncertainty and loneliness and abandonment. For those that suffer homelessness and hopelessness. And yes, still, after 2,000 years, those who suffer persecution and discrimination. Lord, hear our prayers for those that we name in our hearts in this moment of silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers for ourselves, for our families, or our own need for family. In all of their struggles and challenges, as they grow and as they fade away. Hear our prayers for those among us this morning, both here and online, who may not know the joy of living life with you in spite of struggle and pain, who may still be hung up in the explanations that make no sense without knowing you, who may need simply to ask, to call upon your name in a moment of honesty and need to just ask for your touch. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, O Spirit of God, for your church, required by you to be one with you, one in you, and one with each other. And yet so divided over so many claims to being right. Lord, how can this be? Your church sent to be one in ministry to all the world and yet still working so hard to survive instead of serve. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, O God, for the leaders of your church, as they seek to proclaim your love and grace this day around the world and in every language, as you said, that your Spirit may guide their thoughts, their hearts, and their words to your glory and to your glory alone. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray especially a prayer of thanks, especially for your servant Jake and Emily and Brody and little Bethany Kate as they celebrate your gift of new life. Lord, hear our prayers for our nation. So blessed with freedom and beauty and opportunity, so divided by our self-centered opinions and attitudes, so powerful in wealth and possession, so weak in charity and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. And hear our prayers for the leaders of all the nations, that the voice of your Holy Spirit might lead them, that they might lead us back to you and into your will for our lives. And hear us as we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.